abundantly in basket and in store, and we will go home much richer for it. Your brethren in Portland send their love and greetings to you here, to all of you. They want to be remembered in your prayers. They love you and want you to know also that we too have a convention. Ours will be the last weekend in June this year. We're still holding it at the Collins Retreat there in Portland, and we want you all to come and enjoy the blessings. Our children also that we spoke to before leaving, and I also spoke to our oldest boy last evening, and they want their greetings sent to you all here. Number one. I kind of like that ring, do you? You know, it makes you feel good to be number one. People today strive to be number one. Now let's put a word prior to that. Still number one. Sounds good. We're, again, very pleased and happy that we can still be number one. But put a word after it, and it changes the complexion entirely. Still number one killer. It is a fact that we are dying and have been so since Adam, since the fall. Mankind is dying one way or another. Our race is a dying race. 63,400,000 people in the United States are afflicted with heart disease. It is still the number one killer of all diseases. Cancer is number two. I dare say that before long, AIDS will be number one. They predict that in case if no cure for AIDS is found before the year 2000, tens of millions will die. In 1 Peter 1:22 we read, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." A marvelous organ is the heart. 10 or 8 to 12 ounces, depending on male or female. It is just a little pump which circulates the blood. But it is not one of those organs that is so tender that it can't be literally beat upon. It is so durable that, to make an old cliche, it can take a licking and keep on ticking. But unfortunately, for humans, though this organ is such a durable one, man develops diseases of it that, if not cured, eventually kills the individual. Yes, heart disease is still number one as a killer. 1 million people last year died from heart-related diseases, twice as many as from cancer. There are numbers of factors for heart disease. We could not possibly talk to you about all the factors of heart disease. So we're going to make a few analogies of just a few related causes of heart disease and see how
they apply to the Christian. Bad eating habits. Lack of exercise. Hypertension or high blood pressure. Now, this is not a heart disease, but it is a malady that leads to heart disease. This last one, hypertension. With bad eating habits, the arteries get blocked, causing the heart to work harder in pumping the blood. Lack of exercise, this causes harmful exercises upon the heart. The heart becomes weak, and obesity comes from eating and not exercising. Lack of exercise causes the amount of blood to decrease, building waste in the arteries. Hypertension or high blood pressure. This is caused by arteries becoming constricted, narrowing the space through which the blood can flow. Blood that is pumped through the arteries presses harder than against the walls to force its way through. This overly strong pressure raises the pressure of the blood. I don't recall just how many times from this platform this very weekend that the heart was mentioned, but a number of times, included in one of the manna texts and its comments. How does God view the heart? Is it important? Proverbs 4:23, out of the heart are the issues, the boundaries of life. The heart controls the emotions, the well-being, the life. This is very important in God's sight, to have only those things exercised upon the heart to make it healthy. The blood is the life that flows through the heart. All cessation of the blood will bring death. Leviticus 17:14 tells us that the life is in the blood. There are three main enemies of the heart: the Christian heart, the world, the flesh, and the adversary. It pays to keep a watchful eye out for anything that would damage then this vital organ. Proverbs 23:27. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. All emotions affect the heart and the thinking, the feeling that controls it. The Hebrew word for thinketh then gives the thought of acting as a gatekeeper. In other words, what goes in must be pure, because if evil thoughts go in, the heart becomes diseased. We're told in one place, Jeremiah 17:9-10, that this heart is treacherous. In James, I think we'll read this text, the first chapter, verses 14 and 15, speaking of temptation and what leads to ultimate death, the apostle puts it this way. But every man, when he is tempted, is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when that lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is finished, it brings forth death. In the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." This word here means clean. Again, the importance of protecting what goes into the heart. The heart's sentiments include the will and the conscience. The Apostle Paul brings this to our attention. "I thought that which is in harmony with this subject," in Titus 1:15, when he says, "Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto those that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, even their mind and conscience are defiled." This is a very emphatic way, then, of bringing to our attention the importance of keeping right thoughts and motives. Failure to guard our inward emotions and feelings leads to a lazy heart. Proverbs 24, 30 and 31 read, "I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down." If we don't use our gatekeeper, we'll become like this. Then there's Proverbs 10. Verses 13 and 21. "In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but the rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding." Why do we need this? It's an admonition. God will correct us if we're in the right heart condition to be corrected. If not, he'll give us the rod to straighten us out. "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom." Do we die for want of wisdom, of a heart that is gone diseased? In speaking of the nation of Israel, the psalmist recounts God's dealings with the nation, detailing his goodness and his mercy. Yet, as we have learned again many times from this platform this weekend, they were a rebellious nation. They didn't keep a right or a sound heart. We read in the 78th Psalm, verse 37, "Their heart was not right with him." We can readily see how in the human heart this is illustrated as a heart that has become diseased. The nation was literally sick unto death. Yet in his mercy, he time and time again sustained them. Although, in way of illustration, they would have heart attack after heart attack, he would still keep them alive. He would give them many lessons, heart attacks, to teach them of their errors. Each one designed to teach them a lesson. And so we say, are we listening to what God is saying to us through this nation? In Hebrews 4:12, we have a method of changing our heart. And it is through the Word of God. For the apostle again here says that God's Word is quick and powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, even piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow. And it, this Word of His, of Jehovah's, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Our opening text from 1 Peter 1:22 emphasizes God's rules of keeping our hearts pure then. Now, we'll not go into this way of cleansing at this moment, but we want to now illustrate through the human heart some of these diseases. Let's go to clogged arteries for a moment. They contribute to heart disease and death if they are not kept open and clean so that that blood has a way of passing through. Bad eating habits contribute to this condition. Our intake of food has a great deal to do with the human heart. A fatty diet causes a buildup of cholesterol in the arteries. Victor Lindlar, a nutrition, once said, "You are what you eat." Illustrating this to the heart of the new creation, a rich diet of pleasure, material goods, power, or influence will cause a buildup in our spiritual heart, which in turn will bring a heart attack on, and if not remedied, death, spiritual death. The arteries carry oxygen-rich blood away from the heart. We suggest this oxygen represents the Holy Spirit, as was brought out from this platform this morning, mixed with the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, His great ransom sacrifice. The two are life-giving, this oxygen mixed with this blood. When the arteries get clogged with fatty tissue, this restricts the flow of this oxygen-rich blood. It can cause pain called angina. The arteries that become restricted with fatty tissues may also have some of this tissue break off, causing blood clots, which can cause strokes or even death. The remedy is to keeping a healthy spiritual heart. A rich diet, if God's promises mixed with a strong faith nourished through the Word. Our pleasures are not derived earthly, but service-wise. Galatians 6:10, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all, but especially unto those who are of the household of faith. We must keep the oxygen flowing through the efficacious blood of Christ. Service for the truth and an active witness possessed of zeal. We must be enthused about this zeal or this service. If we have material goods, then these as good servants must be used in God's service and not for our own pleasures. Our personal influence is only as good as we use it wisely and not selfishly. The apostle says in 2 Corinthians 4:10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus,
that the life also of Jesus may be manifest in our body. This life of Jesus, His great sacrifice, enables us to have life. God's Holy Spirit mixed with the precious blood must flow through a pure and a clean medium. We cannot allow the rich things of this life to build up and block our spiritual arteries. Do we enjoy delving into science? Do we enjoy reading novels of fantasy? How about art or business? Are we kept busy here? All these are hardeners of our arteries, our spiritual arteries. How healthy our heart is will determine what we put into it. Someone might well say, but isn't science another word for knowledge? Yes, and are we not taught in the Scriptures to get knowledge? Yes, again, Proverbs 4:5. But there are various kinds of knowledge. Some edify and some do not. The Apostle Paul sums up this matter when he says that all things were lawful for him, but not all things edified were expedient. 1 Corinthians 6:12. The wise man says in the second proverb, verses 1 to 7, he says, "My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek for it as silver and search for it as a hid treasure, then you shall know the understanding and the reverence of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous, and He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." The novels of the new creation are not fantasy and a waste of time. We have the 6 volumes of studies in the Scriptures, the concordances, the reprints, the Bible itself to help us rightly understand God's holy word. And our art consists not of canvas and of paper, but the beauties of character of each member of the body of Christ. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Colossians 3, 12 and 14. Another cause of heart trouble is lack of exercise. It is said that a healthy heart contracts more strongly and coordinately, which causes the flow of blood better, where a lack of exercises causes blood flow to decrease, which in turn builds up waste in the arteries, leading to clots and disease. Obesity, that's a word that none of us care for. It's an unsavory word because it means to be very heavy. Now, if our food intake exceeds our energy outgo or output, fat is stored and waste increases. This is what is stated regarding exercise and weight. Regular and moderate exercise burns up a number of calories. It also, we are told, has a beneficial effect on the cholesterol level and helps prevent heart disease. Exercise is shown throughout the Bible. Did you know that? We'll just give you a few little walks here. Psalms 84:11. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Walking uprightly allows you to breathe more freely and helps to prevent heart disease. Let us walk as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. See ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, Ephesians 5:15. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1:10. Here's one. We don't recommend too much of it nowadays in a personal sense. Run with patience the race that is set before you. Hebrews 12:1. Walking and running increase the heartbeat and make for a healthy heart. Now let's go to this hypertension for a moment, high blood pressure. This is not in itself a disease of the heart, but it can cause heart problems. Sometimes because of illness or emotional problems or tension, the walls of the arteries become constricted, narrowing the space through which the blood must flow. And this overly amount of pressure is called high blood pressure or hypertension. For our lesson, anger, wrath, jealousy, worry, fear, all cause hypertension, high blood pressure in the new creature. Let all bitterness and of wrath and of anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, Ephesians 4:31. So the apostle sums it all up here, doesn't he? Now the opposite of anger is forbearance. This means to put up with or to suffer. This, though, must be tempered with love. Not feigned love, not put on, but endurance born out of God's love. Wrath is violent passion. The obvious answer is found in Romans 12, here, verses 19 to 21. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Jealousy is another form of envy, a feeling of discontent and ill will because of another's advantages. The opposite of jealousy is benevolence, to be charitable, to do good, to think good, to wish good, to be sweet-tempered, to be at ease with oneself. Worry. We heard a little bit about worry, and I'm going to give you another definition of worry. Worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but it doesn't get you anywhere. To cause to be troubled or uneasy. That's a definition for worry. The answer is God's peace. John 14:27 and Philippians 4:6-7 are just a few. To develop faith, Mark 11:22, Hebrews 10:22. Fear. Well, fear is found here in many places throughout the Bible, and it is described. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Hebrews 13:6 is another of these scriptures on fear. Here it says, the apostle says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man may do unto me. The opposite is courage or hope, Psalms 27:14. These are medicines, brethren, for hypertension, for spiritual high blood pressure. One last disease, one that many, many older ones are afflicted with, is called congestive heart failure. And I only want to talk about one symptom here, shortness of breath. Because of a buildup of fluid in the body, this causes lack of oxygen and shortness of breath. If our heart is restricted in the amount of oxygen, dizziness, fainting, or pain may occur, and finally death. A lack of the Holy Spirit will cause the new creature the same symptoms. If we allow other themes to creep in and block out our spiritual heart, crowding out the Spirit, it will leave us breathless in a spiritual funk, and a loss of the Spirit will indeed cause eventually spiritual death. Our antidote then is to prevent a buildup of impure thoughts or actions which cause a congestive heart. Recapping, through God's holy word and with a good amount of the Holy Spirit, purify our hearts. Keep them clean. Keep them pure. Let us resolve that we will not die of spiritual heart failure. And may the Lord help us to do this.
We want to thank Brother Carlton for this really a practical Christian lesson in anatomy, as it were, a lesson on the heart, certainly a practical application. And Brother Carlton will dismiss us with prayer.
Heavenly Father, begin with reverence, we bow before thy throne of grace, thankful for this privilege of meeting with thy dear children. Thankful for this convention, for the fellowship, for the words of life that have been spoken here. And help us, dear Father, to continue to strive with our every being to keep our hearts clean and pure before Thee, that we may be found as children of Thine, and finally to be Your sons of and be associated with Jesus in the blessing of all of mankind. This is our desire, dear Father, our sincere desire. And we pray, dear Father, that soon thy kingdom will come, when all sin and sickness will be eradicated, and that also know thee as a God of love. Continue to be with the further exercises of this convention. and then go with each and every one of us to our various homes, and may we put into practice what we have learned here today, this weekend. In Jesus' name we